You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, not a great series for the Astros. They are swept for the first time this season, and it is at the hands of not one of the best teams in baseball like the Yankees or Dodgers, not an up-and-coming team like Paul's Mariners. It is at the hands of the A's as they fall 4-2 last night in Oakland. Good news, they're back here. Yes, Paul is wearing his tailored half Mariners, half Astros shirt.
Mariners.
Which we'll get to in a second. But not a great weekend for the Astros. What did you see from the vantage point of, is it load management? Is it just an off series? Are you worried, etc.?
Not worried, just annoyed, mad. It's sort of like whatever you're dealing with allergy-wise, same thing.
I'm hitting the cough button like once a segment at least.
It's this feeling in the back of your throat. You realize it's not that significant, but you're like, damn it, why is this happening? Do I have to do due diligence on this? Do I have to go like with the crazy Mark Vandermeer patented allergy fix? I look at
the medicine ball type deal, right?
Yeah.
Because he's given me that before.
Oh, it's you know, the things that you do to keep your voice working
it
in
works,
this industry.
Though.
It does work, but good God. There's a lot of things. When you have allergies, and I get allergies a lot, it's not fun. Anyway, back to this. I mean, they should not get swept by Oakland. They shouldn't lose 2-3 to Oakland. Should have, would have. It's a 162-game season. It's frustrating because the Yankees are still struggling. You could have overtaken the Yankees already in the American League pennant race. And on top of that, too, Seattle has made up the ground that, you know, you gained this weekend.
Right.
They are now 10 games back of the Astros in the West. There's tons of time left, and I don't see the Mariners overtaking them. I don't think the Mariners are anywhere close to as good as the Astros, but a series against Oakland where you get swept, it keeps the door slightly open, and it forces you to, I think, instead of being able to do what you mentioned a little bit earlier, with a little load management, Vanessa, resting guys like you have done a lot this year, there might be games where you have to say, oh, damn, okay, well, we got to take this a little more seriously. You can't really coast this one out when you get swept by a team like Oakland.
No, you can't. The Astros back in action, like we said. So will you be at the game? Two questions. Will you be at the game?
No, I will not be at the game.
Okay, but will you be wearing the shirt at a bar of some sort?
I got to wash it. I'm sorry if it smells.
You don't stink. I tell you stunk.
Good. I realized, I was like, oh, yeah, they're playing them again. Thursday through Sunday.
Should you get it dry cleaned since you got it tailored? Serious question.
I mean, I've gotten t-shirts dry cleaned before, but it's usually because there's a stain in them.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, I couldn't get this stain out, so then I take it to the dry cleaner. But yeah, I just sprayed a bunch of like Wrinkle Guard on it, and I was like, hopefully I won't smell like a raw egg when I come into work today.
No raw egg just yet. All right, let's talk about some trade rumors. The Astros reportedly open to trading some guys away, including Javier Urquidy Garcia. What are your thoughts on that as we approach the trade deadline? You saw Benintendi head to New York.
I think you should also be looking at moving Jake Odorizzi. I know that the Killer Bees are very adamant about getting his ass out of town. I like Javier and Garcia are the guys I think you should keep. Because both of them, you've seen them have stretches where they're striking everybody out. Urquidy, you know? Javier is the one where I really wondered what his role is going to be with this team, because you've used him as a starter before, and sometimes it's worked out, but other times it's been a little bit of a hot mess. Is he more of a reliever because of the K through nine that he's able to do on a regular basis? So of all those three, if I'm power ranking who I want to trade, Urquidy's at the top. Garcia's probably two, and I think Javier's three, because Javier is just interesting, and I think you can use him in a bunch of different ways. That versatility is going to help you out.
Mike Trout has a rare, quote unquote, rare spinal condition that could affect him for the rest of his career. So said his Angels athletic trainer. I believe the pronunciation is Mike Forstad. This quote, this is a pretty rare condition that he has right now. The doctor of the team, who is one of the most well-known spine surgeons in the country, if not the world, doesn't see a lot of these. For it to happen to a baseball player, we have to take into consideration what he puts himself through with hitting, swinging, et cetera, et cetera. The timing of this announcement when Mike Trout is struggling a little bit is suspect to me. But Mike Trout pushed back, said that it would not end his career and that he was getting all these texts of folks freaking out and that there was no reason to freak out. When I hear spinal condition and rare in the same sentence, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, what do you do? You don't want to have back surgery. That's invasive as hell. That's terrifying. So we'll see what happens with him going forward. I mean, he's dealt with so many injuries already over the course of his career. And he has been out, I think, since the game against the Astros a couple of weeks ago.
He has. He got a cortisone injection last week, apparently.
It was a very convenient way to not play against the Astros.
Yeah.
You have your number. But he's a Hall of Famer. It's fine.
Let me make clear that against the Astros, I think his condition is just called not being able to play against the Astros and not being good. But some of the other struggles he's had, if he does have a spinal injury, I'm with you. Anything spinal related, it's actually the number one reason I'm scared to have a baby. Fun fact is because I don't want the spinal thing that they give you before, the epidural
spinal
or whatever.
Spinal epidural? Okay.
It scares the hell out of me.
Okay, yikes.
Now
yeah.
You guys officially know all my dirty laundry. But
I mean, pregnancy sounds terrible as it
sounds
is.
Sounds awful.
In every, there's not like one perk of pregnancy that I can think of.
Other than the kid. And Paul's not even sold on
yeah,
the
even
kid.
That's like 50-50.
I mean, the kid might suck.
Yeah, exactly. What the kid has bad vibes.
Just yeah, exactly. Thanks, Sean.
I just don't like your vibe.
What if my kid isn't able to grow a man bun down the road or to put up a bun like Vanessa? The bun babes right here.
Yeah.
To my left and to my right.
Yeah, you need to grow a bun.
The thing with Trout, I do think that the Angels need to look at themselves very hard in the mirror and wonder, like, wait a second, we gave this guy $450 million. Did we not do our due diligence looking
right.
at a rare spinal condition?
It's a good point.
Are you serious?
It's a very good point.
I mean, Angels stay the Angels. I'm okay with that.
It is time, since the Mariners are in town,
they
by the
are.
Way, for our Paul Gallant-sponsored segment, of which we call Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. July 28th, 2022. The streets of Seattle are bloody, littered with needles, and the occasional homeless turd. The Astros left the Mariners in the dirt this weekend, groveling, crawling, dying. But this weekend might be different. Julio Rodriguez is back from injury. He doesn't care what happens to him. He doesn't care if he lives or dies. With Julio Rodriguez back in the lineup, I think it might be time for the Astros to, at the very least, take a dark,
ooh,
deep look in that rearview mirror at the Seattle Mariners. Hit the post. Hell yeah.
There you go. There's your Mariners Watch update from Paul Gallant. With all seriousness, though, Julio Rodriguez is back.
Yes.
You got to think that's going to make a difference against the Astros.
Yes. I'm very curious to see how this goes. I mean, the 14-game winning streak has largely been due to the way that Rodriguez played. And they were down last night to Texas. And Julio stepped in, hits a three-run homer. And next thing you know, I mean, there they are. The Mariners are back in the win column for a third straight time. They have now won 17 of their last 20. Again, it's Texas, but they swept Texas. You just got swept by Oakland. I am not saying that the Mariners are going to win the series this weekend. I do think, though, that this is a much more accurate barometer of where these two teams stand with Rodriguez back in there. And it is crazy to say that because, of course, we were just talking about the Angels and Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. How much of an equalizer are those two? But I'm telling you, this kid's amazing.
Yordan has been good. That's been the one bright spot, is he was pretty good against Oakland. But other than that, hoping to see some improvements for the Astros tonight. And if you're Paul, well, you just want both teams to have fun.
Yes,
all right,
I do.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, let's take a look around the AFC South. Some news and sound bites as training camp kicks off. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A look around the AFC South as NFL coverage continues to ramp up with training camps beginning. Let's start in my home state with the Indianapolis Colts. DeForest Buckner, one of the best players on the Colts, said the Colts, quote, SH blah, 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 you can fill in the rest, the bed last year, pooped the bed last year. I love this quote. I saw some of my friends in the media tweet it out in the Indianapolis media. He's not lying. I would rather somebody say this, that they pooped the bed last year, than say, oh, you know, it happens.
Would you rather him have said, I Amber Heard-ed? Because that way we could have played
would
it on
the air.
Would
have been very millennial of him.
Yeah, it would have been very current, a pop culture reference. I mean, they did.
They did.
I know Carson Wentz is the subject of a lot of people's ire, but that defense, which is pretty good, that defense totally bleeped the bed, if you will.
Carson Wentz deserves a lot of the blame, but to your point, as much as I love the people in that are, you know, with that franchise, and I know some of the players, has he gotten 100% of the blame when really he should get like 85 for that Jags game?
I think the Jags.
I can level with you on that.
I think the Jags game, he deserves 51% of the blame.
51, okay.
I think that the rest of the team not showing up. Like, look.
Yeah, Wentz he's not on defense.
Wentz is the leader of the team and never was a very good leader of the team as a quarterback, which is why they wanted out of him as badly as they did. They didn't like that he never really was accountable and he kind of was just there. You're a quarterback, you're supposed to be more than that. But, I mean, it's the Jaguars. You shouldn't have to even try. It was the last game of the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were checked out and definitely thinking about vacation. And instead, the Jaguars kicked your ass, and you had no answer for it after weeks before killing Buffalo and beating New England. There was a time, remember when people, I mean, I'm sure you do, and sorry to rub it in. There was a time, though, where people were talking about the Colts as a dark horse. It was mainly, all right, can you get like two good games from Wentz? Because you're going to get a great performance from Jonathan Taylor tailback.
All they needed to do was beat the Raiders, and then after they lost to the Raiders, all they needed to do was beat the Jags. So, yes, I very much remember. Their chance of going to the playoffs went from literally 90% to then losing to the Jags. It was very sad, for me at least.
Follow-up question, and it has to do with the very awesome nickname that I gave to Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jonathan Taylor Tailback. Shout out to the Solid Verbal Podcast who came up with that nickname. Do you know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas was?
Yeah, from Tool Time.
Okay, cool. So you actually, okay. I wasn't sure if that dated you, because that was TGIF era. That was my growing up years.
He was
on
a
TV.
Heartthrob, but he's not my type, but gotcha. All the girls loved him.
They're very much the pretty boy.
Ruffy enough for me. Yeah, exactly.
He's like a Leonardo. He was like another Leonardo
totally.
DiCaprio.
And had great hair, by the way.
Right.
Excellent hair.
Which is the deal. Okay.
Darius Leonard now wants to go by Shaquille. Apparently, he's always gone by that. And what I saw, he tweeted something to the effect of, no hurt feelings if you accidentally call me Darius or whatever, which I like, but it's just a very random thing to do.
I feel bad for him because he should have felt comfortable in the pre-draft process just saying, but people call me Shaquille.
His middle name is Shaquille. He's one of the many, many, many 90s babies whose first or middle name is Shaquille.
Why the hell am I not named Shaquille? Yeah. Although I'm 1989.
A lot of reasons.
Shaquille Maurice Gallant.
It is going to... One of my friends, shout out to Taylor from the NBC affiliate in Indy, tweeted out a video of Shaquille Leonard doing drills. And I literally went, I know this roster pretty well. Who's Shaquille Leonard? And then I remembered. So it'll take some getting used to. Let's go down south. Let's go to Let's go to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville. Get it? Because they suck.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's funny. We still can laugh at this team because for all of their struggles over the years, the Texans still beat the Jaguars all the time.
And they have kicking issues. If you remember last year, Urban Meyer apparently kicked the kicker. This year, according to Mark Long from the AP, the Jaguars still have kicking issues. Warming up, they hit Dave Campo in the head. They nearly wiped out Ashlyn Sullivan, who's their team reporter, and sent another group scattering. None of them was even standing close to the goalposts.
See, if you had Urban Meyer here, you could kick the kickers, and they would stop doing that.
Who's to say?
You know, I get it. People are not the biggest fans of, you know, using physical abuse to coach, whether it's for a pet or for a kid or a kicker. But, you know, kid at the top, pet, kicker. Kickers are very low on the totem pole. You need to kick your kickers to keep them in line.
Also, did I read Dave Campo?
Yeah, is he back in the NFL?
Dave Campo's with the Jags? Did anybody know this? Former Dallas Cowboys coach, Dave Campo.
I forgot he was the coach of the Cowboys. How long ago was that?
For 2 years, from 2000 to 2002.
How old is he?
And now apparently he is with the Jacksonville Jags.
75.
Maybe he's like a consultant or something. He's probably one of the senior consultants, right? Something like that.
I was going to say, it seems like he's, consulting, assistant offensive line coach. Yeah, something where it's like, He's not actually going to be there every day. He's right. doing independent stuff.
Shout out to Ashlyn Sullivan. I know her. She's their team reporter. Very nice. But seeing Dave Campo's name in that tweet definitely made it stand out. So Dave Campo and poor Ashlyn almost getting hit with footballs today by the kickers.
Yeah.
Not good.
Say what you want about Urban Meyer, but, you know, he ruled with an iron fist, iron foot, and he
iron
got results.
Dance.
He got results. All right? Yeah. No one was getting hit under right. Urban Meyer's watch, except
some
for
iron
the kicker.
He had some iron, not that lap dance. Yeah, right. That's for sure.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Iron finger, I guess. Too.
Wait, whoa. Whoa. when we look when
Hello.
We look back Sorry, on Paul. Urban Meyer's tenure, there are going to be some things that,
tenure,
that
yeah.
are so bad that we forget. Like, I'm going to be honest, between the lap dance and the kicking the kicker, I always forget that he tried Tim Tebow. I mean,
yeah,
that was the thing. He yeah. tried to bring in Tim Tebow, and then he tried to bring in the abusive ex-Iowa strength coach. Those things get forgotten because he got a lap dance from a college girl at his own bar with his name on it in Ohio.
He didn't know who Aaron Donald was, supposedly.
Was so bad.
Yeah.
This 99 guy is going to be a problem,
This 99 guy is going to be a problem.
Yeah. Who's number 99?
Is
that J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
Wait, J.J. Watt's not black? What?
Whoa. Josh Allen, Jaguars, I should say, defensive lineman Josh Allen, laughed and said the big difference in Jacksonville this year is that Doug Peterson, quote, talks to us like grown men. What does this mean Urban Meyer talked to them like? Joshy, time to start practice. Trevor
Lawrence.
That would
Lawrence. Be so funny if he did like that. If he's talking to them like they're his children. But like a very nice, benevolent dad. Well, son, he sits Trevor Lawrence down on his lap. Look, yes, your hair does make you look like you're from the hit 90s band Hanson, but you'll figure it out someday, son. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear him talk to them like that, but yeah, he was a jerk.
There should be. I mean, I guess there's not often tell-all books about teams that went like 2-15, but I would love
tell-all.
Just like you get Josh Allen, you get Trevor Lawrence, you get everyone who was on the team, all the coaches and stuff, just to, like, tell these wild stories.
An unbiased Urban Meyer documentary / book would be fantastic. You get those Florida teams, you get the time where he
had a heart
had
attack,
health issues. I say in quotation marks when some of the rumors were that potentially he was, I don't know, pursuing young women. That was why he moved from Florida to Ohio State. Those Ohio State teams, some of the same issues at Ohio State. Going off and doing analyst work for Fox from a boat and looking sunburnt. The Jaguars. It would be a great, I think, 30 for 30.
I think it would be. And here's the thing. We really don't have a lot of in-depth because Hard Knocks, and I wanted to watch Hard Knocks last year. It was the Colts. Hard Knocks lets the NFL teams edit out what they don't want people to see.
Yeah.
So Hard Knocks is not actually revealing. So I heard some people say, oh, I'd kill for Jacksonville on Hard Knocks. They wouldn't show anything. We need a tell-all book and an actual, like, documentary.
Why did Hard Knocks flip the script like that? I get that the NFL wants to protect the shield, but, like, they still don't get that all publicity is good publicity. Jerry
right.
Jones, fault him all you want as an owner. I mean, Jerry Jones gets it. It is good to have stuff like this out there. If people are talking about your league, it is good for your league in the at the end of the day.
Titans rookie first rounder Treylon Burks, their wide receiver, who was unavailable for mandatory minicamp with issues related to asthma, made it through his first practice yesterday. He had his inhaler. He was working it. Shout out to Treylon Burks.
I feel bad for him because he didn't ask to be put in this position, but sounds like he also called himself out, too, for not being as ready to go as he needed to. They drafted this guy thinking that he could replace A.J. Brown. That simple. And they are foolhardy
it's a lot
thinking
of
that they could do that. I mean, they locked into A.J. Brown in the second round. We can replace him. We're fine. Just reminds me of the 1997 New England Patriots when they had drafted Curtis Martin in the third round of 1995 thinking, you know, we got Curtis Martin. The next guy we get will be good. And then, like, Curtis Martin has a Hall of Fame career with the Jets. These are the kind of things that ultimately the decision makers, the roster builders, are going to look back at and say, why did we do this? And the only thing I can point to is, like, Tennessee's just a cheap organization.
There's your AFC South update. We'll keep you updated, of course, throughout the NFL season on the divisional opponents of the Texans. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there's a certain NFL quarterback that did something that reminded me of my co-host, Paul Gallant. Plus, our world-famous gambling segment. But first, PG's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, baby. Look, we're all looking for ways to make money. We're all looking for ways to be making our future more secure for ourselves, right? Well, the Passive Investor Network can do that for you. They are a real estate investment team that is your go-to when it comes to investing in real estate. They sit down with you, personalize a five-year plan for you that actually is realistic for you. You sit down with them, they tell you what you can do, and look, they're going to walk you through the entire process. How many people do that? You can be hands-on if you want. It's fun to be a part of investing and looking at things and scouting out places, but why not have people that have been doing this for over 20 years in your corner? Go on one of their bus tours to see what they're all about, whether it's just how they can flip one house and turn it into something looking really, really pretty, or just the actual process itself of the Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. It's the Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net. Promo code ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We all know that Aaron Rodgers is willing to be petty. I think he's a little bit of a contrarian, enjoys being the hippie liberal guy dating a witch in Wisconsin and going against the grain. He parted ways with his receiver, Davante Adams. Rather, Adams parted ways with him.
Yeah, Adams left him.
Adams did leave him.
He wanted a breakup. He wanted Derek Carr.
And Adams had...
Derek Carr's more sensitive.
Made, yeah, very sensitive. Adams had made a comment about how when you go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, etc., which a lot of people criticized. Here's Aaron Rodgers in media availability yesterday with the Packers media folk.
I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. from Devontae to Ted Allen, it's going to be, a transition. But he's capable of a lot.
This was great. I loved it. And it reminded me of you. I got to tell you.
I didn't put two and two together with the Adams comment.
Yeah. Oh, you're just now realizing this.
Yeah.
Okay, so Adams had said it's hard going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer regarding Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. So Rodgers said it about Lazard and
Is Rodgers having fun with this, or do you think Rodgers is
That's
being
a good
petty?
Question, because here's the thing.
God, he always makes us guess what he's doing. This is annoying.
I know. Good at this. And it turns into a thing. The two of them seem to really get along. Like, when Adams decided to go to the Raiders... Remember, Devontae said, the Packers offered me just as much money, but I wanted to play with Derek Carr, which I thought was an interesting comment. To me, this is a little bit of pettiness. Now, I don't think they hate each other, but it kind of reminded me of something that he would do.
I'd hate him if I were Rodgers, right?
Right. And instead of being outwardly mean, you just make a little bit of a petty comment. I'm Paul Gallant. Petty comment.
Wow. That...
I don't do it as good as Josh Beard.
Yeah, Josh Beard does it.
Josh Beard does a great Paul Gallant impression.
Damn, wait.
But it was a little bit team petty, which I liked.
Am I too passive aggressive?
No. But this is something that you would do. You wouldn't be outwardly... Right. Sean, do we agree with this?
Yeah, you would throw the words back in someone else's face, like, but just as like a little like comment.
Right.
Like,
you are definitely right.
It's like, it's like going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. Devontae said it best. It's like going from Hall of Fame. And that's Alan Lazard, just as good as Davante Adams. Just like Derek Carr is just as good as me, Paul Gallant. Oh, no, I mean Aaron Rodgers.
that's not bad either. I think that the Pacific Northwest rubbed off a little too much on me, because that is definitely something that, being a part of the passive-aggressive culture up there, like, I took a little taste
yes.
of that, and I yes. brought it to me. You know, as we create this smorgasbord of having lived in a bunch of different places, like
you
Florida,
have lived
Texas,
in a lot of different places.
Boston, or excuse me, south of Boston. and Seattle and upstate New York too. Yeah, that's one of the things that I brought away from Seattle.
Yep, Paul Gallant, just like Aaron Rodgers. But here's the thing, like Aaron Rodgers is interesting. He's just a little passive aggressive.
Very
good at his job. Hasn't managed to win more than one Super Bowl, but he's you know.
I also would 100% ignore the absolutely terrible captions in someone's Instagram post if they were a hot witch, because they're hot.
You actually said you thought his witch girlfriend was hot.
She is hot. And I would ignore those captions, even though, Vanessa, I bitch and moan to you all the time about hating a lot of people's captions on social media. I would be a hypocrite.
Core memory.
I would be such a hypocrite. Oh, I'm the worst, aren't I?
Maybe this will lead to a segment tomorrow t-shirt. Where which quarterback, starting quarterback in the NFL, are we the most liked? Because I think I have answers.
I love
for
that.
All you
yes,
guys.
We should all.
For the whole station.
Yes. Separately, we all like each bring in a quarterback for, as many people as we want.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the station. That's our homework.
But we don't
for
share our answers until the segment.
Until the segment.
So okay. Tune in.
Okay, I love this.
All
good
right,
idea,
so,
Vanessa.
So let's do a little gambling segment. Do we have an open for the gambling segment?
Yeah, I put one together this
Go
morning.
Go ahead. Let's do it. No, Paul.
We were gambling. And woman.
See? I thought until this
Somebody
morning.
Somebody come get this guy.
I thought until this morning that song by the Allman Brothers was called Gambling Man. I thought the longest time it was the Gambling Man.
You had the Gambler by Houston native Kenny Rogers right there.
I mean, I wanted to use that song. It's been stuck in my head, but I thought that this would be so much better. And then I realized, because I was just going to add and woman, but no, it's. It's Rambling Man, so...
It's not gambling.
We'll make another open. This was all I could think of this
morning.
I
will say I appreciate that you committed to it. Like, once you... Because at one point you had to realize, they say rambling.
Because it took me
pretty
5 minutes.
Pretty clearly, actually.
It took me 5 minutes to find the song. I kept on searching, like, Gambling Man, and I couldn't see it.
Kenny literally talks about you got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him.
Know when to walk away.
Know when to the over, the under, and all that.
Know when to run. You can't count your money... When you're sitting at the table. Yeah. Time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Shout out to Kenny Rogers. I actually really like R.I.P. That's like a real thing in our family. My grandpa was in a cover band and would sing Kenny Rogers songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. So I do like Kenny. These numbers are per BUSR.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Astros winning the World Series, shall we? The Astros are at plus 400 to win the World Series. Third overall behind L.A., plus 300, and New York. They're at plus 340.
I get they're still trying to bring money from New York in on this, but I'm sorry. They should not be behind the Yankees. Maybe the Dodgers, you could make that case. The Yankees being ahead of them as far as odds to win the World Series is insulting to me. I find it insulting.
The Astros are the Astros are at plus 210 to win the American League, and that, again, is second behind the Yankees, who are at plus 165.
They were 5-2 against New York this year, and they are still behind New York. They just beat them in a doubleheader out of the All-Star break, and they're still behind New York.
Now, are these numbers as of this morning or before?
They're as of this morning,
okay,
yes.
So as of this morning, are they taking into account the losses to Oakland then?
Maybe, but I mean, come on. It's head-to-head is all that matters between good teams in baseball.
And New York the Yankees lost to the Mets last night,
too. Yes, a great point.
Another World Series favorite.
Subway Series on ESPN.
I forgot about it. It just matters more here. The Captain. Oh.
How's that documentary going, by the way?
Part two was a lot better.
Okay.
Part three.
There's no
is
part
tonight.
Of me that's interested in watching six parts on Jeter.
Part two.
No part.
Part two was good. I
okay.
There are parts that'll make you hate the Yankees while you're watching along, like that little bastard, Jeffrey Mayer, who caught the home run that shouldn't have been in the series against the Orioles. And the Yankees were like, we would have won it anyway. Daryl Strawberry sucker punching a guy. And, like, getting in no trouble for it. Like, this rallied us together when Daryl Strawberry committed assault in the middle of the baseball field. And then they show, finally, like, Jeter's first The Captain moment, where he told David Wells to, like, shut the hell up in the middle of a baseball game.
I can't wait. I think tonight is 3 and 4, and I might actually watch those, or at least watch them on the app afterwards, because they're playing up the Yankees-Red Sox part. in the ones tonight. And they showed Pedro shoving down that old man. I was like, hell yeah, I'm
in. See, and as a former Red Sox fan, you're probably interested in that one, too.
This will be like watching...
This was like prime Red Sox fan Pauly G.
Oh, seriously. This will be like watching The Wedding. You know, like going back and actually having fond memories of my ex-wife.
Yeah. Good times.
I'm 33 years old. I'm sorry. I have been through lots of relationships. You can't handle it. Deal with it. Half of the country gets divorced.
Very true.
Including my parents.
Whoa. Mariners are at plus 2,300 to win the American League West. Is that too high?
I'm surprised that they're even in the running. I mean, because the Astros, it's like negative 22,000, which is like, oh, okay. So you gotta bet like $2,000 to win like 100 or something like that. But I mean, that's like 23-1. That's not terrible. Those aren't terrible odds. And we'll see. This weekend, I really want to know what the Mariners look like against the Astros with Julio hitting the way that he has
been
hitting.
It's a great point.
Because, I mean, he hit a three-run home run last night. He hit all the home runs in the home run derby. And a lot of people, I think, get nervous about what a home run derby might do to a player as far as, like, maybe messing up your swing or something like that. I'm just saying they can prove a lot this weekend where they could not this past weekend where that series was over before it began.
I actually like the fact that the Astros are behind LA and New York to win the World Series because I think that's where the Astros like to be. Am I wrong when I think they like to be almost underdog-ish?
Yeah, they do have a little bit of the like classic like, oh, no one believes in us,
right.
Even though they've been to like five straight ALCS.
And part of it's the booing, right? Like part of it's everything that they're going through with that.
And just the simple fact of coming back from the All-Star break, they have the two against the Yankees. They're going to be up against that. Then you have Seattle's World Series with local minor celebrity Paul Gallant in attendance wearing a half Astros, half jersey.
Love it.
Half Mariners jersey. They probably took that super personally. They
did.
Probably saw the post and they're passing around the phone.
Oh, they
like,
definitely
can you believe
did.
This guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're locked in. And then they have like a mental lapse against a team. Or they just don't bring it against a team. Like it's a classic trap game that we see in like football all the time.
And that was our Lord, I Was Born a Gambling Man segment. Those numbers provided, by the way, by our friends at BUSR.
Lord, I Was Born a Gambling Man. Yeah,
Lord, I Was Born a Gambling Man.
It's rambling.
By the Allman Brothers. It is a great song.
The Allman Brothers guitaring is fantastic.
Yes.
I love it. You know, sounds like that.
Yeah, it's like exactly like that. All right, so
Jessica,
coming up.
Great song.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, it's our world famous Garbage Time segment. We're bringing you some of the funniest stories in sports. But first, if you're at home, if you own your home, listen to me. Our friends at TGS are going to save you a bunch of money. TGS has a new system, okay? It shops over 36 carriers instantly for home insurance. So it basically takes the hassle out of buying home insurance. All you have to do is take out your phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your address. You send it back, and you get that full quote, guys, within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. It's not a scam. In fact, their average customer from last year saved over $870 on their home insurance. So I know you don't like to shop for it. I know it can be a hassle, but TGS, I promise, is going to make it the easiest it's ever been. You're only one text away from huge savings. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
Stocks are a little soft, but very, very little movement this morning after yesterday's surge in the Dow of 436 points and 4% rally in the NASDAQ as the market became somewhat more convinced that the Fed is nearing the end of its rate hiking cycle after the Fed raised rates by 0.75 and Fed Chair Jay Powell held his news conference suggesting that short rates were close to neutral, which is close to where the Fed wants them. Now, we're waiting on jobless claims number and the first look at second quarter GDP, which may or may not be negative. We'll debate about whether that's a technical recession at another time. Still waiting on that number. Oil prices bouncing back almost $2, just under $100 a barrel. Gold's up $16.50 to $17.35 the ounce. The dollar's up, but rates are down a little bit. The yield on the 10-year note, 2.785% to kick off the morning as we also comb through earnings, which were mixed in after the close reporting yesterday.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5.
breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So I'm actually not sure that there's ever been as perfect of an NIL deal as the one that I'm about to read. Dacoldest Crawford, D-E-C-O-L-D-E-S-T, Dacoldest Crawford has been signed by SOS Heating and Cooling. He is now, of course, with the Huskers. SOS Heating and Cooling tweeted out, SOS Heating and Cooling is excited to introduce our new spokesperson, Huskers wide receiver Dacoldest Crawford. If anyone knows which HVAC company is the coldest in Nebraska, it's him. You'll be seeing a lot more with him soon.
His name is really Dacoldest?
It's Dacoldest. When he was being recruited out of high school, it was a big story that he had one of the best names ever.
I think his middle name is his full name is Dacoldest, and then his middle name is Ever to Do It or something like that.
Wait, really?
I think so. That at least was the meme out. I saw. I don't know if it was fact.
The coldest ever to do it, Crawford. Oh, my God. And there's like a little alliteration there going on with the coldest Crawford. That is an incredible name. I'm rooting for this guy. I want this Nebraska Cornhusker wide receiver to make it to the NFL. The coldest. That's maybe the best name I've heard in years.
Oh, his middle name is Juan. Sorry.
I mean, the coldest Juan?
The coldest Juan, that's true.
That's even better.
That is even better.
The coldest Juan Crawford.
He was an LSU commit, which is how he kind of went on everybody's radar, and then he decided to switch to Nebraska. The coldest Crawford.
I'm very curious, though, as to the process with which the parents came up with that.
I don't know. It's like when
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Correct.
It does feel like they were bleeping around, right? Like you're just, that would be funny, right?
Yeah, but have some fun with it. Yeah.
High risk, high reward, right? Because it was risky to name your kid something that weird. But if he goes on to make a lot of NIL money from air conditioning and then he goes to the NFL and other than DeBrickashaw has maybe one of the best NFL names ever.
DeBrickashaw's a great name too.
I mean, high risk, high reward.
Yeah. Offensive lineman.
You basically do have to become like a wide receiver.
That's a great point.
I mean, I can't imagine Dr. Dacoldest Crawford.
No, I want that.
Yeah, actually, oh my God, that'd be a great
doctor. Dr. Dacoldest. I'm the coldest doctor around. And like doing ads like he's Better Call Saul online.
Yeah, Dacoldest Law Firm.
That's great.
Okay, you know what? I'm all the way around. This is a great name.
This is a great name.
Like, there's no risk.
Maybe he starts his own air conditioning company. Because he's from Louisiana. Air conditioning is very important in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes back home and becomes an air conditioning legend.
Can he take care of my air conditioning problems right now?
You know what's an issue is names when you name your kid Junior and then like your husband is a legendary person like Michael Jordan
or
somebody and then they end up not being good at whatever their dad was good at.
Yeah, LeBron James Jr. is getting a lot of like, he might have to, like, he's only ranked, like, 30th in his class.
Correct.
Which is, like, awesome. But then it's like, well, you know, LeBron's kid, you know.
LeBron's going to distance himself. And he's like, actually,
bad
that's
for the
Bronny.
Brand. Yeah.
That's Bronny, not LeBron.
Not Excuse LeBron you. Jr.
I saw a story that Bronny James, when he was picking his jersey number in high school, he said he didn't want to choose, like, 6 or 23 to, like, distance himself from his dad. Like, he didn't want to be in his dad's
corny.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
Shoulder.
Taco
Shadow.
Tuesday. Yes. He doesn't want to be anywhere near that.
He doesn't want to be in LeBron James' shadow, and his name is LeBron James Jr.
Yeah.
And he does all the videos with his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they work out together and stuff. Which they I guess do. That's not bad. I mean, if anyone's going to work out with their dad, if your dad's LeBron James, that's the best one to work
out. I'd rather work out with Patrick Beverly.
He gets that from his dad, though. Who always is like, just a kid from Akron. I had it all going against me. Even
Hashtag
though he was
the young king.
On the
He called himself the king. Like King James.
Even though he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at like 16 years old or something like that.
I'm just a humble kid from Akron. The king that the I call myself. Humble kid.
Remember when Bronny James had Instagram for like a week and like posted like hilarious video?
Pot or something like that.
Yeah, telling
I forget
people
what it was.
To like whatever do some do stuff that I can't repeat.
Like, Tom Brady did it right because none of his kids are named after him. He has two boys. One of them's Jack, and one of them's, I don't even know the other one.
Alfalfa.
Paul, I thought you knew all the...
Yeah, why don't you know Tom Brady's children's
it's
names?
It's like knowing all of Noah's kids or Abraham's kids. He's an exalted figure, you know?
Who cares?
All right, let's
get... bad to say?
Let's get to our segment of which we call on the show Garbage
Time. His daughter named Giselle Jr.?
Oh, I love.
Then she's really got to be hot.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts.
Do we have
now?
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Do we have female juniors?
There are not a lot. I don't think so. I don't think a lot of people are named after their mom. A lot of people do the middle name after their mom.
That's
the middle name's common.
I think my sister's middle name is my mom's name, but it's spelled differently.
You think?
Well, is it the same? Because it's my mom's name is Catherine, but my sister's middle name is Catherine with a C. My mom's name is Catherine with a K.
Oh, that's interesting. Why'd they do that?
There's someone in my family who is Catherine with a C.
So my middle name is Marie, and it's a quote-unquote family name because there was a my great-aunt's middle name was Marie, and then my great-grandma's name was Marita.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Also, Paul, your sister's middle name, she's named after the person who actually spells her name with a C.
Yes.
So she's not named after your mom.
But it's the same name.
But it's spelled
but it's
the way
spelled
of someone else.
That's why I asked the question. Yeah. I'm not really sure how that works.
I don't. If we're going like strict junior rules, I don't think she's a junior.
Okay.
Catherine's also a weird name because you can spell it a lot of different ways.
Kathy, which my mom hates to be called.
Your mom does not
Kathy.
Like Kathy.
No. Kitsy, she will go for.
Tom yes. Brady's. Ooh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's what everyone in
like
our family call. Yeah.
Tom Brady's kids' names, by the way, John, Ben, and Vivian.
Okay.
Jack, Ben, and Vivian.
Mm.
You should know your Lord and Savior's children's names, just FYI. All right, Miss Bum Bum, a Miss Bum Bum finalist, has started a sex diet to burn calories with 5-hour sessions. I didn't know Miss Bum Bum was a thing.
I'm very big into the Miss Bum Bum competition. It's one of the biggest athletic competitions in the world. It takes place in Brazil.
Did you know about this before?
Oh, I've known about this for a while.
Oh, God.
I've known about this for a while.
I thought he was kidding.
Nope, I can't. I also can't. Dismerch Paul, because I also knew this.
You knew about the Miss Bum Bum competition?
Yeah.
How do you not know about the Miss Bum Bum competition?
So is it based on your bum?
What do you think?
Yeah. It's in Brazil.
Okay, there you go.
They specialize in a procedure is named after him.
Brazilian's greatest export is ass, right? Isn't it? I don't know. I'm just a sports talk show host here. I do declare I don't know much about the world, and I'm just here to appreciate the athletic competition here. But one model is saying that she's started a 5-hour per day sex diet.
Whoa.
To get in shape to win Miss Bum Bum 2020. I feel like there are easier ways to do this than to have sex for 5 hours.
Like go on a run.
Yeah. I mean,
do some squats.
Yeah, lift.
5 hours of sex.
She's doing squats.
Does seem like listen, I'm as horny as they come,
whoa,
but 5 hours
that's
of sex.
That's a drop. That's a drop.
5 hours of sex seems like it's a long, long time. I don't know. Are we spacing this out?
It's a very long time, and it's also probably not good for your lady parts.
It also doesn't seem like it would burn enough calories.
No,
like there's more efficient ways to burn calories.
She's doing this for attention to turn men on, and according to my two co-hosts, it worked very well.
Well, let's see a picture.
What'd you say?
We don't know.
Yeah, let's see a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
For research purposes, for the athletic competition.
We have a thief among us. According to an email
I saw this, right?
From somebody at our
someone
station, someone is stealing our truck.
Van. Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think it is?
Jake Asman.
Damn.
I was going to say either one of the interns that help out with the road shows and stuff. Because they actually take the van to the road shows, so maybe they get the
think
keys.
They just take it to go get food, go take it. I mean,
yeah, joyride,
save gas,
joyride. Yeah. That's why
girls.
I say Jake Asman, because I think Jake is very frugal.
Damn,
and I think Jake would be the one to be like, you know what? Instead of taking my own car, I'm kidding. Jake has integrity. Love
I guess
you, Jake.
We'll find out today because I think Jake's heading up north. So
if
someone takes the van today, we will know it's definitively not Jake. Thinking about it. Now. Is this public knowledge that Jeremy had some car issues of late?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if
I don't
it's
know
public,
if
issues.
Public knowledge.
Okay.
But good edit
I
to
think,
ask it on air.
I think could it be Jeremy? Could it be? I can't say.
Or could it be? Well, no, I can't.
Listen, all I'm asking is two questions, and this is an inside joke that I'm sure our audience loves.
What's the other
more
question?
Backstories too.
Could it be Jeremy? And who's the other one? What's the other one?
The other question: has Jeremy's car issues?
Oh,
made public? I don't know.
Or could it be the same?
I think it has.
People who caused Jeremy's car issues, maybe causing car issues of our own.
So someone on Twitch says, yeah, like Jeremy had his like cars lit. Like it's crazy.
Did
like,
they ever come back?
I hope so. I don't know.
Me too.
I haven't heard the follow up on that. I haven't asked.
I think they caught at least one of the cars because like who stole it tried to resell it and like they were able to trace it back to the stolen car.
That's crazy. That's like so brazen.
It is. It is. Yeah. I that makes me
sick. So anyway,
keep the cars in the garage.
Maybe Jeremy's using one of the car. I don't know. Gas is expensive these days, guys. Come on.
According to police in Portage, Michigan, they're warning people about folks pretending to play violins to solicit donations. After getting tips from a concerned viewer, one of the news stations found a man appearing to play the violin outside of a Target store. Dad with three kids, please need help for food and rent, said the sign. But when the reporters approached him about his performance, he didn't speak English, and the violin music was coming from his speaker, so he was not actually playing the violin.
I respect the hustle.
Listen. That is some hustle to buy a speaker to get donations.
I have no problem with it at all. If you're going to give people money on the side, just know. And as someone who has been scammed 100% before by someone who claimed that his wife had a miscarriage with twins.
What?
And that he was a Katrina refugee. This was when I first moved here. This was back in 2011. Gave the guy $100.
No, you didn't.
Felt bad for him. Yeah.
And then was it on the street?
No, it was in my apartment complex. He came up to I got home from work. It was like 1 a.m. and I had to go back to work at like 5 a.m. This is when I was just working nonstop over at the flagship. And the guy came up to me, like gave me a hug, and I felt bad. So I was like, yeah, like, hey, here you go. Then I got back from work and he asked me for more. And by the way, I like drove him somewhere because I thought I was driving him to his car. And I drove him to...
You're a Dateline episode waiting to happen.
Oh, I know. It was a really stupid move on my part. I was 22.
If an attractive woman wants to murder Paul Gallant, she probably could.
This is a guy, though.
That's a great point.
This was a guy. But you're right, yeah. I'm like the Russian pilot, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Easily seduced. All right, that's another episode of Vanessa and Gallant coming up. You'll hear from Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank as the Killer Bees are on from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!